How do you guys differentiate between mental game learning and real development?
Ooh, good question. Wait, first we've got to explain because Anita wasn't here for the mental game. So did someone want to reenact? Do you want to be someone want to be Romany and I'll be like, oh, I can be Romany. I can try. It's quite hard. Romany, if you're listening, I'm doing this out of love. Love and understanding.
Okay.
A question, many questions to support why she doesn't have discipline was because she has a mental voice that says, oh, I don't understand and I can't make the decision, so I'm just not going to do it. And I think many people had the same voices in their heads. You ever had that? So you're like, you'll be like, oh, I should go and do this, but another voice will be like, yeah, but it's raining and I'm cold and I don't really, yeah, no, I won't. And you just don't. Anyone else have this? Yeah? Yes. Doesn't have to be that exact one. It can be a different version. Like, I could just watch TV or I could just do something else. Yeah. And so I think with hers, it was like, yes, I value this. Yes, I want to learn it. But every time she goes to do it, the little voice pops up and they have to have an argument. And the voice either always wins or she doesn't get convinced either way. So she just doesn't act. So rather not act than act out of not winning the argument in her head. Make sense? Yeah, I understand that. And then, do you remember how we told her to beat it? Oh, you weren't even here, but yeah, if you've got one, go for it.
Discipline, will. You need a strong will and discipline.
Okay, so that's easy to say, but how do you create that strong will and discipline? So that's exactly the right answer. But for Romany to say to her, you've got to have discipline, she's like, yes, okay. But every time it comes to having discipline, that voice wins. And she's like, ah. So how do you create the will and discipline? Do you have another?
Gets easy in practice.
Practice, okay. That's true. Yeah, but sometimes to go and practice, that's the part, the hurdle that she can't get over, is that first get up and go practice.
Pretty sure I've heard a class similar to this before, and I can almost remember someone else's methods.
We did bring them up. We brought them up. That was part of it as well.
Yeah.
Belen had a good one. Hardshell had a good one. There are a few good ones.
I have a new one.
Ooh, a new one.
First, let's see if I got the old one right. Is the old Belen answer to go 1, 2, 3, go and do it?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, just go.
1, 2, 3, dale.
Yeah. So instead of bothering letting that argument happen, she just goes, ah, it's good for me. 1, 2, 3, go. Just decides. Going to make it happen. So the argument doesn't even take place. Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Like getting out of a warm shower in the middle of winter.
Oh, yes. Or getting out of bed in the middle of winter to go have the warm shower. You're like, just go. Okay, so that's one. Belen, did you have a new one?
Yeah. By observing other people with that kind of discipline, how better and how the life is with less suffering, like, or their body is with less suffering, instead of having that argument with yourself, you need to observe, like, oh, I'm not at that level, but if I just keep, like, doing this to myself, I just observe, like, the logic on their lives and the good example they are setting. So instead of, like, you creating that chit-chat, like, oh, I know better. Like, well, you don't know that better, because if you know that better, you'll be in that area.
You'd have that ability already.
You'll have that ability, which you don't, and they have.
Yeah.
Just follow what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's a good one. That was the main one. It was just, like, because I don't know about you guys, but when I first started learning from Sifu, there was a voice going, like, I don't know if that's really that good or if I should be doing that. And then another voice went, well, whatever, you can't do what he's teaching you and you want that ability. If he says this is how you're going to get it, just stop trying to rationalize it and just follow. Like, learn. Trust that they're going to help you develop that ability. So that was how I gave myself a little smack in the bum. And I was saying to Romany, like, you come here and learn and you want this. You want to learn all this Tai Chi. You want to learn all this wisdom. But the only one you really value is the talking philosophy part. You come to the talking philosophy part because you're good in mental ideas. You're good at remembering ideas. But that's one sense. And we train... How many senses do we train?
Six.
Six senses. Does anyone know them? But you got to go by order. There's an order. You got to go by order. That's true. There is smell. That is one. Do it, Daniel. You're here. You've come too far. Eyes.
Eyes. Feel.
We'll go this way. Eyes.
Eyes. Heel. No.
Here. Ears. Yeah.
Don't be fooled by the song. It's not mouth and nose. It's the other way around.
Our whole life to be lying to us. So, eyes, ears, nose.
Nose, mouth.
Tongue.
No, taste.
Yeah.
Feel.
Yeah. Body, touch and separate. That's five.
You know, mull it over, maybe think about it.
Or ask an audience if you think they might be able to help you.
Yeah. Maybe you've been thinking about it all.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's six senses that we have to develop and train. And I was just saying that Ronnie's really good in one, and that's university people are usually good in one. And they often get stuck and think that's the most important one, and that's the only one they need to develop. But if I could tell you all about Tai Chi, I've read all the books and I've watched all the videos and I've studied all the lineages and I can tell you the names of all the moves, but when I go to do it, I can't even hold my body in position. That's mental game. Versus someone who can actually charge their body, have the correct body language, perform power from foot, and defeat their opponent with a single blow.
I'm defeated.
Does that clarify the difference between mental game and what we're trying to learn? So what senses are we learning? What senses are we training?
Correct.
So how do we train eyes?
By clapping.
Hold on, Belle has a question.
Yeah, so what we're training is an ability of sight, or we're just like,
that's a good question. Yeah, clarify the question. So, so what we're doing is we're training all the senses, all the time, in a spiritual direction. We're supposed to. We don't, but we're supposed to. But when we connect to philosophy, we're using our eyes to read philosophy.
Yeah.
All right. So we're using our eyes to read information that is spiritual, and we're using our brain to think about that philosophy and try to understand that idea. So that's one way we train thinking and mental.
Yeah.
So we're using those senses to connect to spiritual information. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or I can go on the internet and look up bareknucklebackyardfighting.com and look at brutal fighting. It's not spiritual. It's not good for me. It's not artistic. So I'm using the same sense in a blind direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that same sense is just the habit to like receive information and think about it. And so I can either scroll through Facebook, which is what we all probably naturally do when we got some time off, or I can put that down and pick up philosophy and read spiritual wisdom, eternal wisdom, and develop something, eternal wisdom. So I'm using the same senses to train a new ability. Does that make sense? Does that clarify it? So that's just one example of how we use eyes and thinking. So we're training those two senses to connect to wisdom. Can anyone think of others?
Well, through... I guess one would be, let's see if we explain once, to try and keep like your space and your living area clean and functional was one way of like organizing this space around it, so we do have space to like bow and train, and not letting it get...
How does that relate to your senses?
Yeah, which sense are you training?
I was super saying something, it was like it was for sight. So if you take in like mess all the time and accept that as like a low standard, you won't develop the ability or discipline to maintain like a clean functional space when you try and create pure life.
Yeah, that's one.
So if you create something that you see, if you create something that you're going to see...
You receive that.
Yeah, you receive that.
Yeah. So if you create like a mess and not functional and you can't do anything, you always feel annoyed that it's messy, as opposed to a space that's open and functional.
Good feng shui.
Smells good.
Now we're talking. Smells good. There's another one. Yeah. So which is that still? Is that still a site? Ah, there we go.
Yeah, like if you walk in your room and your room's messy and that's the first thing you see, you're like, So you see a no discipline, badly organized, no art power, living space that is the result of your own kind of lazy cause and effect. But if you walk in and you see, well made, everything in its place, that's going to stimulate you to have a higher standard of art for yourself and your living space, higher standard of discipline. Okay, there's many other senses though. Come on, let's not get stuck on us.
We also did smell.
We did smell. Yeah. But we didn't go into why it's, how to make it spiritual.
Didn't say an intricate detail. My name's Jeff.
Well, Daniel put his hand up before anybody. So, should we sidetrack to Daniel and then come back to Jono?
Yeah. Okay.
Incense.
What kind of incense?
Sandalwood.
Sandalwood. Do you know why we use sandalwood?
Was it antibacterial or something like that?
Yeah.
If it was saying that the sandalwood tree lives for so long, because yeah,
it's like really antifungal, antibacterial. Yeah. It's the smell itself actually stops bacteria growing around it, so it keeps your space clean. That's why it's really naturally spiritual. Not that it kills stuff, but it just makes it not want to grow there. Which is great, you know. If you had a smell that made bugs not want to come into your house, you don't have to kill them. It's great. It's like, yeah. Defense. Instead of having to go around and kill. But that's the main one I know, is the antibacterial and that spiritual smell. It's just, it smells great. It smells so good. I rub it on my neck and put it in my hair.
Yeah, we have the oil on the, we rub on our hands before we bow as well.
Mm. It's another way we stimulate the spiritual sense. We be aware of spiritual smell. Whatever you connect to, you become. So if you connect to blindness, you become more blind. But if you connect to spiritual smell through all your senses, not spiritual smell, spiritual information through all your senses, you become more in that direction. We were in, Tim was in Taiwan and he had that Digest Zen oil for the tummy, and Red Bull had a sore stomach. So Tim was like, here, put some of this on your tummy. And put it on and gave it to Red Bull, and he was like, rubbed it on his tummy, and then came and got in the car. And Red Bull is like a powerful being, and whatever he's doing, it's strong. So when he sweats and he smells, the whole car becomes whatever Red Bull smells like. So Red Bull got in the car with all this oil on, and Sif is so sensitive, and he was just like, what is that smell? Oh, like starts blowing up about it. And Red was like, oh, Tim gave me this oil. It was great. Made my stomach feel awesome. Tim was like, oh, why are you giving me that oil? Tim's like, Tim's like, he only meant to put a little bit on his tummy. And Red was like, oh, I was like under the arms, at the back of the neck. Yeah. Like, so the whole car just felt like this weird oil. That stuff is so strong. Mixed with Eau de Red Bull. It was pretty gnarly. But yeah. So I don't know why I was telling that story, but yeah. Bad smells, not such good information, can stimulate a bad feeling. But positive spiritual smell can stimulate a good one. We've got more senses. Come on, how else do we train them? Oh, was that your topic?
I was just going to add, you were saying, like, keeping your space clean, and how that's, like, spiritual. I was just going to say, like, if everything has function, then it's, like, not just, like, accumulating stuff and holding on to it. It's, like, you, the stuff that you have all has like a reason for kind of being there. It all has a function, so it's like in that direction.
Positive function. Positive, good function. Not like, I mean, I keep stuff around because I'm like, I'm going to use that one day. Still has a function. It's just, I don't need it. I don't use it. I'm holding on to the idea of its function. I've got a drawer full of stuff that I'm sure one day it's going to come in really useful. Never does. And I move house and take it with me every time. You got that drawer? Everyone got that drawer? Yeah, slightly more crowded than it needs to be. Open it up, wires go everywhere. You're like, ooh, they don't even make these things anymore. You know, there's like analog, the auxiliary cables. Now iPhones, this one. So I have no need for that anymore. But I still hold on to it. Because when you're a kid, that stuff was gold.
Like, I don't know where to recycle it.
Yeah, just throw it out.
Yeah.
Is this called Evermint? Is this called Evermint?
I think it goes to a camera I once owned. Rechargeable. Any more ideas of what? Yep.
We're hearing to listen to mantras and spiritual music.
Yep, definitely. Spiritual sound.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can also be nature. Listen to nature.
Listen to nature. Yeah, that's quite nice. Yeah. As long as it's nice nature, not like cats fighting or dogs brawling.
Nature side too. That's actually
kind of
nature.
Yeah, nature's quite harmony. It's already quite harmony. Less like
personal.
Less personal. Less drama. Less emotion. Like it's just in a positive direction. Yeah.
Speaking in nutrition.
Speaking
karma, good speaking karma.
Oh, yeah.
And nutrition.
Which sense is speaking karma?
I thought that was sound.
Yeah, because you listen to it. So if you ever hear yourself swear or say something negative, you catch yourself doing that. We're supposed to learn by controlling our speaking and action, right? So if I catch myself saying something, because I'll be around other people saying stuff and it'll influence me, sometimes I'll catch myself slip and say something rude and I'll be like, ooh, rein that in, John, bad boy. All right, so we use speaking karma. And what we're speaking now is more in that Dharma spiritual direction, eternal wisdom direction.
It's not just the words as well, it's the tone. You can really make a plain sentence have a negative vibe if you want to. Sean!
What are you talking about? Or,
what?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Hear the tone? Different intention behind the words. So it's not just the words. Sometimes someone will be like, please. And you're like,
you didn't really mean a please. It's almost like you want to do the exact opposite thing.
It's almost like they're annoying.
Like I should have done it without you asking.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah. So
you're welcome.
So listening is a way of feeling what people actually mean, the tone of their voice, the attitude, the intention, the words they choose to use. And it doesn't have to be that they're saying something wise. It can be whatever they're saying, you're observing it to understand their intention. Because we learn by observing ourselves and other life. Observing self-being isn't just when no one's around, I switch off and observe self-being in meditation. It's actually every day you pay attention to people. What's their intention? What's their attitude? What's the karma they're creating? Where are they blind? What are they stuck in? Where are they creating suffering? What are their good habits? Like Olaf says to me, he came out yesterday, he was like, hey Sean, how are you, man? I'm like, good, bro, how are you? And he's like, it's great, great. How was your day? And I'm like, good. How was your day? And he's like, oh, it's so good. He's like, boom. I'm like, great, that's good. Kind of want to ask what was great about it, but oh, it's just everything was so great. It's like, oh,
he likes the cold.
Yeah. And it started with not so good morning with him because he'd had a bad kind of start to the day with drama texts and stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think he left thinking, oh no, I dumped that on Sean at 5 a.m. So the next time I saw him, I was like, hey man, how was your day? Trying to make it up. It's the end of the day. I'm gonna see if you're okay. But anyway, so that's sound. Any other senses we can think of?
Touch and training like sensitivity in Qigong and Tai Chi.
Yeah, body awareness. Feeling your body, that's one. Any more for touch? There's many for touch.
It's like being in harmony with being around other people, like bumping into everyone. And
yeah, not being clumsy. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, massage, healing. The intention to massage and heal someone is an intention through touch to actually show care. Or when someone hugs you, pat you on the back, look real rough, or your mates will just bump into you or push you over or whatever, bad intention through touch. So we train how to heal, which is a good intention through the touch sense.
Also in your interaction with other life, you know, Tai Chi is harmony with gravity, harmony with nature, right? But Tai Chi is in everything. Sometimes there's like an awkward moment and that the reason it's awkward is because what would have been harmonious is no longer harmonious. Two people who are trying to get around each other and both do one of those ones. But truly, if we observe what the other person is doing and take what our intention is out of it, usually you can figure out which way you're going to go. Of course, small things happen, but if they happen a lot or they happen all the time, like your physical is not in harmony with your surroundings. That's a place touch can be developed.
I was on a boat once and I was walking down the side of the, in between the table and the day beds. It was a very small space and it happened all the time. You had to like step past each other. And me and this guy did exactly that. And as we did it, he put his arm out and like was dancing with me. He was like, love to dance with you, man. I was like, hey, dude, that's so quick. That was weird. It's like lightning. I don't know if he did it on purpose or what, but that was like turning awkward into harmony in a weird, strange way.
We've been on a board for a while.
It's funny. Any more? What about? So we've got touch. What? Taste. Yeah, taste is a good one. I've always had trouble with this one. Yeah. Anita said good nutrition before. It's a tricky one because good nutrition could be what's healthy for you might be one thing, but eating meat might not be that great. You know, it's not the best karma. It's not a spiritual direction. But eating like a mango, Sifu always uses that. A really good mango is like, nothing wrong with that. Really good mango can bring you joy and not where you feel like, oh, that was so good, I want more, and you get greedy for it. You're just like, no, one was great.
Yeah, I've done many.
I don't often stop at one, but I can. Like, it has done. But yeah, like good quality food, just enough. Good char. Char's a good one. Well done, Brooke, coming through with
guacamole.
The guac. Always been a crowd pleaser. So if you can bring joy to other life in a healthy way and minimal things have to get hurt to do it, that's great. That's great. And there are some flavors that you actually, like our level on earth is very different, but in Amitabha Buddha's Pure Land, there's one of the wheels says that you learn through taste and you taste something and it teaches you wisdom. Right now we learn through ideas and we learn mostly through ideas. Sometimes through
touch
and just
sight.
And our own ego will create a drama and we have to learn the wisdom to get past the drama. So we learn wisdom through suffering in a way. But Amitabha Buddha's Pure Land is a pure joy land where you learn through joy. So you don't feel suffering. You learn through all the senses. And apparently, like according to the philosophy, there's a phoenix that'll fly through and sing philosophy. And you learn through hearing that philosophy and just get Dharma joy. There's a tree that will teach you philosophy as well. You just sit near it and it'll make the sounds of the wind rustling through the trees will teach you wisdom. So they're the kind of spiritual direction we want to head, that kind of intention. But we have to make the wise choice to make that appear in our life more often. If we only take in information that is blind or negative or going to create suffering, or fast pleasure but leads to suffering, then we're never going to change the causation pattern we're already creating. But by connecting to eternal wisdom, be it through the blog, reading on our own, Tai Chi, massage, learning from each other, sharing time with spiritual people.
Good feng shui in your house.
Good feng shui in the house.
Yeah. Tidy place.
Yeah.
Being good, organized.
Yeah, good spiritual disciplines in your life as often as possible. We are what we connect to most. So, and it's a spectrum. You start here and you might have like one class a week and maybe a bit of Tai Chi and then two, then three. And you just build the disciplines as you go. I looked at my week the other day and I was like, oh my God, Monday class, Wednesday class, Friday class for like 3 hours. And then we do training on Saturdays sometimes and then Sunday class for another 4 hours. We were talking about putting another Tuesday stretch class in and I looked at Tim. I was like, Tim, I kind of need a night off, man. Come on, bro. And he was like, you're quite busy. I was like, I'm so busy. And then all day working with people, it's great. I love it. But it's like, I am butter mad. Got my level, you know. So, yeah, but have a look at your life and look at where you put spiritual disciplines into it. Where could you take out some blindness? Where could you put in more spiritual discipline? And when I say spiritual discipline, I don't mean, like, I used to go to the park and do my forms all the time. But the way I would swing my long stick form was so much arm power, I would create neck and shoulder problem. So same action, or same intention? No. Same activity. Nice. Wrong intention, not enough wisdom, created suffering. So it was only when Sifu gave us a system to like watch ourselves on video, watch the mirror, and we understood the philosophy high enough that I could actually finish a form and go, nah, that was rubbish, and I'd start again. And I can even now I'm at a point where if I do a move, I'll go, ooh, that was bad, and I'll discipline to do it again because I don't want to create that habit, that suffering. So you might be doing Tai Chi a lot, but without a teacher, could be higher, could be better.
Or at least filming yourself and comparing.
Mm. In a good way.
Yeah. Whereas in to say, like, watch it again and say, oh, actually, this move looked really wonky because this happened wrong. I'm going to do the form again and get that move better.
I lost my center there.
Yeah.
I look stressed out all the time. Damn it. I'm going to do it again.
God, my hair was out of place.
Yeah. The lighting was terrible. Question?
No, just detail.
Yeah, paying attention to detail. Yeah. A lot of people go to do this move in Qigong and it's like, yeah, little things, or they go to do this one and they're like scrunching up their fists, or yeah, like little things, paying attention to, are your fingers stretched back or are your zombie fingers, you know, like being aware of all the detail. The more detail, the higher level your form will get. And that's, it's not easy at first, but you got to try to enjoy it. It's fun. Mm. And if you need help, we're always here.
Mm.
Me and Sean Pig have been drilled on detail for many years. So we do, like, Pig's got his whole mantis form where he's like, bah, 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 bah. And I've heard Sifu go, right, you did that thing with your hand. And he's like, wow, damn it. In a 50 moves, Sifu will ping him for his finger being out. And you're like, that's high level. Like, whereas at the beginning, you're like trying to hold one pose and your bum's out. And you're like, ah, come on, bum. Work with me on this, man.
Kung Fu Purse.
Yeah.
You don't even get a write-up anywhere else apart from the Qigong form.
And this one. Yeah, it's in the end of Tai Chi where you come down like this. You're in the same leg position when you stand up. But yeah, you're not learning moves when you learn Qigong and Tai Chi. You're learning the ability of how to move, how to be aware of your body in more detail. Everyone stand up, just bang. And make higher detail awareness a stronger habit, because that is the subconscious learning to be more aware. I can, and that's what we kind of said to Romani last week, was you can remember all the information in the world, but if you can't, like, be aware of your body to control it for a Qigong form, your subconscious isn't learning that wisdom. So that's why Qigong and Tai Chi is so important. Were there any more senses? Any more? Oh, yeah.
Thinking?
We started with that, but we can do it again.
We touched on it.
Oh, I think I was getting the tea then.
Oh, you're getting the tea. Multitasking.
I was going to say, like, read philosophy and observe the ideas.
Mm. Yeah, and the other way to train your thinking is every feeling you have, observe it, label it, analyze it. Where did it come from? What's it caused by? If you can label all the causes behind that feeling, then it's no longer a blind feeling. You're aware of it. And if I'm like, that feeling appeared because I'm hungry, then I'm like, maybe I shouldn't blow up at this person because I'm hungry. Maybe they didn't do anything that bad and I should reconsider my emotional response. You're not acting blindly when you're aware of why the feeling appears. And you'll feel silly if you go, ooh, that feeling's come because I didn't sleep enough last night and now I'm blowing up at someone. That's not right.
That is not correct.
Just a question with that one. I feel sometimes when I get into that, I'm overthinking my emotion and I go into deep hole.
The deep pain catch.
There's different from overthinking and observing. Overthinking is still in your personal. Observing is observing your personal. I'm not
so
that helpful.
You just need to step, like, give yourself time and then you can come back. And
remember the water? If the water's got dirt in it and you stir it up too much, it's hard to really see through it. But if you just step away, distract yourself, go to something else, say to someone, I'm observing. It's a great little... Remember that when Daniel dropped that in the Philippines to Sibu? Sibu asked him a question and Daniel was like, I'm observing. I told you that like day or two before. I was like, if you're ever stuck, just say I'm observing. And he's like, Sibu like drilled him and he's like, just observing at the moment, Sifu. And he's like, oh, okay. Jacob's like, yeah. So anyone in our crew, if you say, I'm just observing that, that's like a, give me space. Give me 3 feet, man. So you need time to let the emotion settle down. And when you're out of that feeling, then observe it. And if you still get stuck, talk to people that you trust in a gentle way. Bring it to them lightly. And like get help seeing another angle, because when we're trapped in this emotion, we see from this angle and it's hard to see something outside of that limited filter. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Nice.
ask about dragon breathing and dragon
That's right. Yes, Dharma creation. Here we go. Does anyone remember? Do you remember the dragon healing, dragon strength, dragon temper, dragon?
Yeah, breathe? Not to the degree Red Bull does. Remember dragon breathe?
Yeah.
Or parts of it. So, first you need your state center. And you put your arms anywhere, I guess, but a spiritual pose is better.
Put your arms anywhere.
As you inhale, it's not just your lungs that open. Your lungs take in all the air, but as the air flows through your body, it opens up all your joints and makes space at all the joints. And then you exhale. And sometimes, you know, when you breathe in and you're like, there's an intention, there's like a try to breathe, but dragon breathing doesn't need that. Dragon breathing just lets the air circulate through your body.
You actually breathe from Dantian, right down here, right down in the base, and that's the first place you take air in. Because that breathe that he just did was, that's your nose pulling the air in. But Dantian breath is like whole body. More gentle than that, like the finest little delicate silk line through your breath. Question.
How do you breathe without losing your center? Like, if I breathe from here, I feel that.
Oh, yeah. You don't just go there. Yeah. So you gently feel that chamber and then feel and then feel. And you try and feel your whole body. And you imagine it's feeling all the way out like you're a big balloon. And you're meant to do this in all your forms too. Because if your breathing is creating internal pushing out, that creates a charge. And that charge is like, you can move with that. But if your body is not charged, you're floppy. That floppy is not so good when you want to get power. So in here, and it's like rolling and filling up all the space in your body. And each breath charges you up, and it gets deeper and deeper. And you don't collapse. You don't go and collapse. You just keep breathing in and recycling. I listened to a class the other day where Pig had a really cool experience with dragon breath.
Oh, the Big Bang experience.
Big Bang, yeah.
I'll tell it as best I can. Because I can't actually remember all the details, but I can remember what I was doing at the time. So she was there, dragon breathe, and I sat there and sat up straight.
With needles in.
Inhaled and felt my body expand. And exhaled and felt it come back down. For some reason, it felt like my inhales were just going forever. You know, I was like, my whole body was just expanding, and I didn't have my eyes open, so I wasn't looking at my body going, this is my body enclosed here. I was just feeling full expansion and full contraction. And then I kind of exhaled, and it kind of felt like it was going in my body. I would say to my Dantian, like, all the air just came out and my whole being came back to here. And then when I switched from exhale to inhale, the big bang happened in my third eye. And I kept on breathing in, and the universe kept expanding, and to the point when, like, I was right out at the full extension of my big bang in my third eye, and then I exhaled and started to come back in, and all the way I rolled back in, just my visual was like back into just black nothingness. And I switched to inhale again, and another big bang happened. It happened like 7 or 8 times. I just kept, every time I had a long inhale, the big bang had occurred and the galaxy was opening outwards. Every time I exhaled, it came all the way back in, back into a...
Sorry, just checking.
Black hole,
yeah.
And anyway, that was the visual, and it felt like my body was the universe, you know? the inhale was the expanding of the universe, and the exhale was sinking back into the black hole. It's like, it's pretty fun.
So not that Sean Pig's body was the universe, but his body became...
My consciousness was...
Yeah, his consciousness took on that big... From black hole... exploding out into the Big Bang, sending all the planets and solar system and galaxies twisting away into infinite space. He went open with that, and then when he let the breath out, it all came back in, compressed back down in, and then that's one universe lifetime, from Big Bang back into black hole. That's one universe lifetime, and he had that in one breath.
Then it happened over and over again. It's like, I just want to sit there and keep breathing. And like, they were long, you know. Time's always hard to figure out, you know, anyways. How many seconds are you counting on that? But, you know, but they were long breaths.
You were sitting there for a while.
They were really long breaths.
I was there for that. You were there for a while.
Anyway, so that was pretty cool.
That was cool.
So yeah, dragon breathe, something you can practice. I've got an alarm in my phone that goes off every midday, every hour, sorry, and it tells me dragon breathe, because otherwise, and it vibrates in my pocket. I'm like, I was walking around with Red Bull once, and we were in the Mr. Yeah store, and we were walking along, and out of nowhere, he just went, I was like, are you all right? And he was like, yeah, I've got an alarm on my phone, tells me dragon breathe. I was like, ah. So it's a discipline to connect to that wisdom more often. Otherwise, we just forget. So dragon breathe is something you can do anywhere, anytime, out of your personal. Connect to dragon breathe. Do it while you're waiting for the bus at the post office, doing your forms. It's something you've just got to get the habit of building stronger and stronger.
When you're stuck in your blind emotion, that's a good time to practice it.
Great time. Put it into your Chen Kun form. This moment, dragon breathe, and use that to create that expansion. Or no dragon breathe. Look, the same or different, right? One is the ability to actively charge inside, and it comes from doing it more.
That's you go.
No, I was going to keep going, but if you've got more to add to dragon
breathe. No, I was just feeling it, and I was like, oh, yeah.
So that's dragon breathe. Cool? Dragon
Temple was the next one I remember.
Was Dragon Temple or Dragon Healing next?
I only have a memory of Dragon Temple.
Let's go Dragon Temple, because it's the Dragon Strength and Dragon Healing takes up a lot of space. So we'll do those. We'll do Dragon Temple.
Okay, I don't know if I remember it perfectly, but here's my understanding of it and what happens. So like, when you've got emotional charge or psychology stress, and your body will usually like tense or.
When you're about to have an argument, you get a tight stomach, ready for that argument. That's the mind.
So then if you do your dragon breathe, but your outside is still dragon breathe, so calm, but your inside is like fire burning, you know? Like, that's the temper, you know what I mean? The temper that burns inside is the dragon temper, and the control ability is in dragon breathe, so that when it is time to act, you act with such ferocity and such precision and such control that it's the most effective and solve the problem. That's how I remember Dragon Temper.
Nice.
All the time smiling.
Yeah, so one part of it is the physical discipline to stay light and open. The other part is whatever negative comes from outside or inside, you don't take, like you said, when you have emotional stress, we have a habit to tighten up. So fear makes us this, or worry, right? Dragon Temper is about turning all that negative into more charged, more open.
Yeah.
The more negative, the better. And your own insecurities pop up. People are looking at me. I want them to look at me.
Yeah, but that just charges you like more of the temper on the inside, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the more things that come at you that are trying to stop you from doing what you want, the more calm you stay, the more power you're going to have when it's time to unleash. Like, yeah, I should remember... Wait for it. Okay. X-Men, First Class... Sorry, we're seeing X-Men, just remember. And Kevin Bacon? Kevin Bacon plays a role. Do you remember Kevin Bacon's role? He's with the one who was in... And like he can hold an atomic bomb and the explosion goes off in his hands and he absorbs all that explosion and the next time he touches someone, they take the poof explosion. That's Dragon Temper. You take all of it in and you stay so calm, and then when the time comes... Whoever cops it, or whatever cops it, whatever the scenario is, you know, that's all.
Take that punching bag.
Yeah, or you know, take that bit of difficult admin that's been stressing me out. Like, I'm going to get through this so well. Take that vacuuming. Take that cleaning.
Dragon temple for the modern world.
Yeah. Take that mess that's been sitting in the corner of my house for like 2 weeks. Like, gonna get you today.
Yeah, but the idea of it for us is another way to practice it is when you're up doing your form and you know that nervous feeling, turn that nervous feeling into more philosophy discipline. Turn that nervous feeling into more concentrate, foot, hip, chest, chin, center, dragon breathe. You've got to make all these subconscious so that, and you'll get to a part and you'll wobble a bit in your form and your like psychology kicks in like, oh no, yeah, that's how you make them. Turn that, boom, not even more center charge. Keep redirecting it into that open charge feeling. Any negative that comes, whether outside or inside, we use it to make more light, more open, more free. More space in the joints, keep moving, more charged. Not like, everyone's watching me. Opposite, we don't follow blindness. We create new wisdom, new philosophy. That's Dragon Temple.
So there's different types of, like, is this a philosophy under something that is meant to help?
This is martial art. This is like, because in a fight, if you've got 10 people attacking you and you get afraid and you jam up, you're done.
So this is channeling all the different types of like dragon breathing, dragon in.
It's kind of just Sifu's level of consciousness ability can connect to these, and he translates how to do it for so we can understand it. Because otherwise you're like, ah, oh, just don't follow fear. It's like, what? Do you know what I mean? So it's like practical. So like, he invented Tai, connected to Tai Chi, and then wanted to teach it to people. But they couldn't do, the art moves are so abstract. So he created Qigong form. So Qigong form is a bridge to help us understand something he wanted to initially teach, which was Tai Chi. So Buddhism is the final, or Buddha level is the final. And within that, there's like Bodhisattva, 10 different levels of Bodhisattva. And then it goes down to like Rohan and I can't remember the others, but on the other side with just ability is energy god. Demon, devil, energy god, sky human, like all these consciousness that have high level ability, but they're not in a spiritual direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So theory I've discussed with Sifu is that he may have been down the energy god path in the past, many lifetimes, and connected to Buddha and Bodhisattva, and they've like now shown him wisdom and compassion as opposed to just power and just ability. So his ability to, like, when you're fighting with him, he has so many ways of dismantling whatever you're throwing at him, and he can sort of disconnect from his Sifu character and just be aware of philosophy. And like, his ability is amazing to move and be free. But if you're in a fight situation, so I might have the best Tai Chi, whatever, and then you put me in a fight situation and I get fearful and scared. My psychology blocks it. My ability's not there. I get my ass kicked. But with Dragon Temper, it's about practicing that whatever negative feelings you pop up, you've got to be able to break them. You've got to be able to see through them and clean them out, or they will jam up your ability. So it's wisdom to help us connect to higher level consciousness control.
Because once you can do it in martial arts, of course it goes that in life, when something hits you with a challenge, you don't jam up and sit in a corner. Actually, every challenge just inspires you to push further and develop higher. You don't get turned off by someone giving you negative feedback. You just take that, and that makes you be better at what you're doing. You don't get shut down by someone being rude. You just kind of take that and put that in your dragon temper to be even more high level at anything you're doing.
Yeah, and you practice Waterman with your character. So someone be rude to you, go, oh, that was a bit harsh.
Mm.
And then they feel silly. You turn it back on them rather than being like, no, you're a stupid head.
Because you can drag and breathe and keep yourself calm and fresh.
Yeah. So these are all techniques of how to turn negative causation that might come at us from internal or external into wise positive causation. And hopefully perfect spiritual causation one day when we have that ability. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Good question. Very good question. So yeah, Sifu explained dragon breathe, dragon temper, and then he explained dragon healing, and that's how he helped Red Bull fix his back. And Sifu, so when Sifu was in a hospital bed with broken legs, he created dragon healing, which was how he, without gravity, connected to his body and circulated his energy to heal his body. And if you've seen his legs, did you guys see his knees? They're pretty, like they are, they've been like, they've had some city miles. So it's a system that's pretty impressive because, I think Western medicine would have left him kind of crippled. But the fact that he could use his own dragon healing ability to still be able to, like, I've sparred with him recently, like in the last 2 years, had no chance. Like, if he wanted, I got to a point where I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it. And I thought I had him on the back foot, and then he went, oh, well done, and just unleashed on me. So he's got abilities that I'm not even seeing yet. And I don't think he's even sure of how high it goes until someone reaches a level where he needs to show that. He won't pull it out because he's not going to show off. He's just teaching. So yeah, dragon healing, and then dragon strength is the other one. Do you remember dragon strength?
So what is dragon healing?
Energy flow to send the energy through your body.
Yeah.
And all the needling tendons, I Ching Ching is part of it.
Okay.
So unlocking all the tendons to create the shape and open the energy is one. Bell just had it. How do you feel?
Much better.
Much better. Yeah, dragon healing. Yeah, dragon healing is the I Ching Ching, Qigong and Tai Chi is part of it. You need to have that Qigong and Tai Chi to be able to do the energy ball dragon style. That's it's a lying down technique. We'll show it another day. That's a good one.
That's right.
Pardon?
We're all lying on our back.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really cool, actually. I did it in Taiwan, and Sivu said I was free in all four elements with that style. Like, freestyle that. Then, I don't know if I still got it.
So it's lying down.
It starts lying down, and once you feel it lying down, you can sit up with it, and you just connect to that same thing sitting up, and you can create whatever move, whatever, and you've got to be able to vary and freestyle with it. You can't repeat the same move and go, look, I'm doing it. It's freedom to create new moves and stuff, so it's cool. It's very fun. It's good. We'll teach it to you, and when no one's watching, you go home and play with it, because when you're not self-conscious with people watching you, that's when you might connect to it more. But you got to, like, be game to play with it. But in front of people, you're like, I feel weird. It's hard to get over that, eh? cool. Any other questions before we wrap that up? All right, Anita, just there. Dharma creator, everybody. You get a group hug at the end.